Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you've given us. There are just a few here today, but we know that you are here with us. And we know that you have great plans for us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Just pray that you open our hearts today to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, given the subject matter today, and given how few people actually showed up, I had to sort of wonder, Lord, who's got secrets I don't know about?
Don't ask.
I think pretty much everyone does.
Yeah, you're probably right about that, including me.
Uh-oh.
Praise God. Well, that's why we're worldwide, right?
Right.
Amen. If I was to tell you that I'm going to open a new business, mm-hmm. I'm going to start my own business, I'm going to sell used cars. I'm going to call it Honest Larry's. You think that'd be a good idea? Probably not. Why? Because the first thing you think of when you see somebody proclaiming their honesty is that they must not be.
Right.
In the news, I don't know how much it's been in the news, it's certainly been in the news in my neck of the woods, our former mayor and her boyfriend, but now her husband, are in the news because they are now in court over the bribery charges that had to do with the new development that was done in our city.
Oh dear.
If you look at the Dallas City Council, it seems like that's just a gateway to jail. You go there first, then you go to jail.
Yes, that's true.
You look at the TV news and how many people even believe what's on there anymore. And of course, then there's the internet, and we all know that everything you read on there is true.
Oh yeah.
Right thing about the internet is it's too easy to put whatever you want up there, and it's too easy to conceal while you're on the internet who you really are. The identity of the sender is always in question. You never really know. And my goodness, how many times have we seen hoaxes go by? Somebody makes up some crazy thing and posts it, and everybody believes it. Before you know it, everybody's sharing it.
Right.
But to that whole thing, to be honest with you, you know, you'll have people say that. Why do we say that? Why is that in our speech? I remember back when our mayor was running for mayor, and her word wasn't honest, her word was candid. She'd always preface anything she says with to be candid with you. Of course, to me, that said, oh, you're not really. Yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to tell me.
Right.
It turned out to be the case. But we use that because we know others are not. And because, and I hope this is true of none of us, but maybe it's because we know we're really not. But dishonesty seems easier. We can tell a quick lie and it might get us out of trouble that we think we're in or might be in. Or it might keep us from having to explain ourselves in some embarrassing situation or other. It just seems easier at the moment. Or we think that it's going to gain us some short-term advantage. And so before we know it, it's out there. You done said it. Now you got to either take it back and admit or just keep on going. Or sometimes it might even be well meant. We might be telling somebody a lie because we really actually care for them and we're trying to protect them in some way.
Sure.
Maybe it's a secret cheat. We imagine it to be harmless. We don't think anybody else will find out. But lies don't work that way, do they?
Nope.
Just ask, Elizabeth Warren, maybe. Or what about plagiarism? sadly, we have a problem with this in the church. There have been some things that have come up, not this church specifically, but in the church in general. Things have come up over the past few years where well-known people have been found out for plagiarism. That just ought not to be. But lying or dishonesty in any form is just like any other sin. We justify it until it happens to us. Then it's not so right anymore, is it?
Nope.
So what is God's view? Jesus describes himself as the truth. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Titus 1:2, as Paul is introducing, writing his introduction to Titus, he says, God cannot lie. Yes, there are things that God cannot do. He cannot act in a way that is contrary to who he is. He is God. He is truth. He defines what truth is. Therefore, he cannot lie. Satan, on the other hand, is called the father of lies. John 8:44. We talked about that last week. Untruth directly opposes God in his very nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this warning. And it's going to be a while before I get to the scripture, but that I actually put on as the central scripture. Most of these things I'm just going to read that I have here. But Revelation 21:8 gives us this warning. It says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, and for murderers, and for sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns, in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
Mm.
That's pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
Lies, dishonesty, deception. It all comes from the same evil. And we do not want to be found practicing that evil. And that is the key word. We're not talking here about something that you just slipped up and did, and you immediately go back to the Lord or to whoever you did it to, and you say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. We're talking here about a lifestyle. If you look up the dictionary, Just a few of the things that it says about lying that kind of help us really get a scope of it. And obviously, a false statement that's made with deliberate intent to deceive, an intentional untruth, a falsehood, something intended or serving to convey a false impression. An inaccurate statement, a falsehood that may not be intentional. To speak falsely, now in the verb form, to speak falsely or utter an untruth, knowingly with intent to deceive. To express what is false or convey a false impression. A liar, a person who tells lies, obviously. But for our purposes, a person who makes a practice of it. And that includes all forms. So when we apply the definition here, we're looking at intent. An unintentional lie is still a lie, but not necessarily a sin. Unless it's gossip. But an intentional or outright lie, it might be malicious, or it might be, like we said, it might be something of a good motive. We know that the first is wrong, but maybe we should consider that the second is also wrong. We mean well, but are we really doing well in the long run? You know, of course, anytime somebody brings up this subject, there's always the do I look fat in this question? For which I am thankful I will never have to give an answer. Being blind does have its advantages.
That's good.
But the definition also includes giving a false impression. A lot of times, it's what goes unsaid that's just as big a lie as what gets said. Mm-hmm. Because we withhold critical information. In court, why is it that they have you swear? What is it they have you swear? They say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Right.
A half-truth is just a lie.
That's right.
And in fact, that is Satan's most common tactic. I mean, sometimes he'll use outright lies, but usually his most effective tool is a lie that's got a little truth mixed in so that it seems reasonable. Politicians often do that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, statistics, one of the things you should always know about statistics, I use them, too, but the thing you should always know about statistics is they can say whatever somebody wants them to say. So whenever you hear statistics, you should always question the source. How was this data gathered? What kind of questions did they ask? Who asked the questions? Were they looking for the answer that they got? And everybody can't help but come at certain things with a certain amount of bias. But you really do have to ask, were the statistics gathered in a way that would actually tell you the truth? But we are called to walk in integrity. That means integrity at work. We should always be doing whatever it is that we're doing at work as if the boss was looking over our shoulder. Now, within today's technology, you never know. He might be, even though he's not sitting there with you.
Right.
Anything that's on a computer can be monitored real easy.
Oh, yeah.
And they defend their right to do it, too. Every time I log into my computer at work, I have to read a little statement. There's a little statement comes up first that says, basically, we can watch everything you do.
Oh, wow.
Now, of course, for those of us who know the Lord, our boss is always watching.
Yes, he is.
And he sees what, it doesn't matter what your earthly boss sees, he sees everything.
Yep, he does.
So even if we're serving a bad boss, we need to keep in mind that we should do everything that we do with integrity. What about in our finances? Mm. So many, I know that for many of us, and I've been in this boat too, we have forms and things that we fill out to get government assistance. And it's so tempting if we know if we check one box, we get more. If we check the other box, we get less. It's so tempting. We think nobody will ever know. Just check the box that gets us the most.
Right.
But God knows. And that's not the way we're called to live. What about taxes? Again, it's between you and God, but you know what you put, and it's no different if you check that box or fill in that number than if you are sitting in front of somebody that came to your door and they ask you questions and you give them answers. And don't we trust, now I've struggled with this. I don't speak as if, of somebody that hadn't been through this. When I was in school, I lived on an SSI check. And I had to ask these questions of myself. Do I trust the Lord enough to tell the truth, take the consequences, and know that He is still going to take care of me?
Right.
And in fact, it's exactly the opposite. If we operate in a way that does not display integrity, then we cannot expect God's blessing. Sometimes He may reach down in His mercy. If we're repentant, He may reach down in His mercy and correct our mistakes for us. But generally, that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
And we certainly can't expect him to step in and do a miracle on our behalf when we have acted corruptly. Do we have integrity in our word? If we signed a contract and said that we're going to do something a certain way, are we doing it? If we have told somebody, if we promised somebody we're going to do something, and we do this so flippantly, and this is an area where leaders can get in trouble, and I hope that I don't fall into this. It's very easy to fall into. You will say something. We'll offhandedly say, sure, let's get together. Let's do this. Or yeah, I'll do that for you. But then life goes on and we forget and we overcommit ourselves because we want to be good to everybody and we want to give everybody what they want. But then we end up not keeping the word that we gave because we've overcommitted and we can't do it. Or because we're just plain forgetful, which is half my problem.
Yeah.
But that's a problem that may not be a malicious intent, but it's something that all of us need to be aware of and make sure when we say something, we're as good as our word.
Amen.
What about online? You know, anytime we just talk about contracts, anytime you sign up for something, before you can get anywhere, they've got that screen, and on there's a checkbox, almost certainly, that says, I have read and agreed to those terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Now, how many of us actually read and agreed to those terms and conditions?
Haven't. Nope.
Probably not very many of us. But nevertheless, when you check that box, or click that I agree button, whatever it is, you've made a contract. And in that contract, almost certainly, one of the things it says is that everything you told us is truth. You didn't falsify any information. You didn't give a fake name. You didn't give a fake age. You put in what was supposed to be put in. I know sometimes we don't trust people. We don't necessarily want to give that up. Well, maybe the right thing to do is just not use that at all. Go somewhere else that you trust more. Or do without. But we ought not to ever compromise our integrity. We think that a lie here doesn't harm anyone. But the thing we need to understand is people are watching.
Right.
People are watching us. People are watching to see what we're going to do in any given situation. What's the problem? Well, the problem is, first of all, the commandment. I mean, one of the Ten Commandments says, We say it means thou shalt not lie, and there's certainly enough prohibition against lying that you don't have to go to this commandment necessarily. The version that I picked out to read this out of says, do not testify falsely against your neighbor. In other words, don't be a corrupt witness.
Right.
But what is the issue? It's not to mistreat or disadvantage or by your falsehood cause somebody harm. Because ultimately that's what it's about. This is a relational issue. And when we lie, we're essentially being selfish. We've done it to gain some advantage, however slight it may be, over somebody else, to get what we want, as opposed to what's right. And like I've said, there are people watching us, and I think this is especially important if we have children around, because they're paying attention to everything we do. And they're going to follow. They're not going to follow what we tell them. They're going to follow what they see us do.
That's true.
And to lie is then contrary to love. Another scripture says God is love, right? Well, if God is truth and God is love, then to lie is to be contrary to love. And it's contrary to God's very nature. We've already talked about that. It is also in keeping with Satan's nature. He's called the father of lies. He is, in fact, the greatest. His greatest enemy is the truth.
Yes.
Because it is the truth that tells us who Jesus is and what Jesus did and how we don't have to be under his control anymore. And he does everything he can to hide that truth from you. And he'll happily use you to hide it from somebody else.
True.
So don't be caught in that. Our focus scripture that I put on the website this weekend is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And I believe we have the New American Standard up there, but I forgot to change out this. And so I'm going to read it out of the ESV. So that's why it's a little different. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So in the context there, Paul is giving instructions that show us how to live. And he's addressing that relationship that we have with other people. He's saying, don't break it. Don't break it with untruth. And he says, you are being conformed to the image of God. Remember, we're made in his image to begin with. But we went and messed it up. So now we have this process by which he is reforming us, bringing us back. And lies are completely contrary to your new nature. That's not who you are anymore.
Right.
You're not a liar. You're a child of God. You're a child of the truth. And the lies that we have believed are driven out by the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
The truth helps us to learn to get rid of those evil practices that still hang on. The truth replaces those lies that we believed in our ignorance. And we are, as Romans 12 says, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Yes.
How does that work? That works, yes, by changing what you look at, by changing what you focus on, by changing what you allow to be put into your brain. But it also is in your practice. As we actually begin to do the things that we're called to do, as we begin to serve the Lord, as we begin to occupy our minds and our bodies with the things that are good, he then has the opportunity, the door is open for him to be in there making changes and bringing us into alignment with his heart. There's a story that we might remember in Acts chapter 5. And it's a bit of a scary story. If you remember, it's about a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira, and how they sold some land. Everybody was doing it. Everybody in the church was selling off stuff and bringing the proceeds in to the apostles there. Well, they did the same thing, but they kept some of their money back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought just part of it in and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Right.
Now, Paul, I can't remember now who it was that said this to them, but he said, why in the world would you lie to the Holy Spirit? I'm translating here into Texan. Why in the world would you lie to the Holy Spirit? And he fell down dead. And then his wife came in, he asked her the same question, and she said that she gave the same answer, and she fell down dead. They said, why in the world would you lie to the Holy Spirit? This is a serious thing. Now, what was the problem here? The problem, of course, as he said, well, you know, while it was yours, you could do with it whatever you wanted to. The problem wasn't that they only brought part of the money. They had the right to do that. The problem was that they presented it as if they were giving at all.
Right.
It was the false piety that was the problem. And I believe why this was such a serious deal and why it happened the way it happened, because the church is new, the church is young, and right away they're going to make sure, God is going to make sure that that there's not a corruption seeping in from the very beginning of false religiosity and false pretense that would destroy the church from the inside out. Our lives tell the truth about us, whether we like it or not. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 says that if one who says, I have come to... Let me try that again. Yeah, that is what it says. One who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so my call as we wrap up this today is that whether you're here or whether you're elsewhere listening, it doesn't matter. If you're living a lie today, please, please repent.
Amen.
Please repent and give your life truly to Jesus. Let him begin to transform you from the inside out.
Amen.
Let the God of truth transform your life today.
Amen.
And then learn to walk in integrity. How much better our world would be if we would all do that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm not really sure why you had me do this today. Part of me, I wrestled with it all night because I thought I'd just been lazy because I'd done this material before and I wasn't doing my job right. But I think I heard you. And I just pray that you will take this and you promised that your word would not return void. So thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, for all that you have brought us through. I know that you're not done with us yet, and this is part of our preparation for the things that you have in store. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.